I'm in Birmingham, the UK's second city, and I'm about to board a train for London. This journey today is going to take me about 1.5 hours, but in the not too distant future, if the government gets its way, it's going to take less than 50 minutes.
While other European countries have been building high-speed rail like TGV, Thalys and ICE for more than 15 years, the UK, birthplace of the steam engine, remains sluggishly behind the times, if you don't count the 117 kilometres of Eurostar track from London to Folkestone.
The government believes that the construction of a high-speed rail network will support economic growth and the rebalancing of the UK.
So the Conservative and Liberal Democrats coalition government has decided to do something about it. Here's Transport Minister Philip Hammond outlining to Parliament the plans for the UK's first high-speed rail line between London and Birmingham, which would eventually go on to Manchester and Leeds. It'll cost €37 billion, which many say this country can ill afford, as the national debt now stands at 150% of GDP. Yet Philip Hammond says this country can't afford not to invest in high-speed rail.
It's vitally important for the future of Britain's economy to create the jobs and the growth and the prosperity that we need in the future, because we're out of capacity. By 2024, the line between Birmingham and London is going to be clogged solid.
If you are leaving the train, please make sure you take all your personal belongings with you.
Well, I've arrived at London Euston Station and I'm off to see one of those who feel a new high-speed rail link from here to Birmingham is the last thing this country needs.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Lush.
Peter Jones is from the HS2 Action Alliance, a group of people living around the proposed line for the new high-speed rail. But his main concern is not the potential noise and a ruined countryside, he says.
It's a flawed scheme on all levels. It's flawed environmentally, it's flawed on the business case, it's flawed in terms of rail infrastructure. As we know with infrastructure projects, they often overrun in terms of cost. Now, Philip Hammond claims that there will be a $44 billion benefit, but this benefit will be accrued over 60 years. If I went to my bank manager and said, could you lend me $34 billion and in 60 years' time, I'll have made £44 billion of profit, he wouldn't give me much time.
Now, what about this argument that this would help bridge the north-south divide in the UK, that the north needs to develop faster to catch up with the south, and that a high-speed rail link would facilitate this?
Well, that's a spurious argument. It's unlikely that a train giving you a 40-minute advantage between London and Manchester is going to make much difference to the business viability of Manchester when there's a train every 20 minutes from London to Manchester and from Manchester to London, and it takes just a little over 2 hours.
For the 1842 Northern Cross service,
yet businesses in the north of England beg to differ. They argue the gap between London and the rest of the country is too large and high-speed rail can fix it. Baron Frankel is Director of Economic Strategy at Manchester's Commission for the New Economy, a group working for regional growth.
I mean, London is streets ahead in terms of the UK level. London, nowhere else in the country is even close. Manchester is marginally second, but the gap is enormous. The connectivity to that market in itself would make an enormous impact. So if you look at somewhere like Lille and the difference that high-speed link made to them as a direct consequence of the building around it and the growth around it, that's the sort of model that we would be looking for, yes.
Building work is due to start in 2015, if the route is approved in a public consultation launched last month. But the first high-speed train to leave London for Birmingham is not due until 2025. And the train won't pull into Manchester until 2032 at the earliest. By then, other parts of Europe will have benefited from high-speed rail for half a century. It remains to be seen whether the UK's rail revolution is too little, too late. Lars Bevanger, Deutsche Welle Radio, Manchester.